Good morning. I first want to say I'm really grateful to have followed these two presentations. I assume I'm preaching to the choir, but how wonderful to hear presentations that really speak to the power of going to the community, asking them what they need, having them tell us what they need, and then actually doing that as they've asked us to do it. And I can say that if more studies reported the kind of details that the Little Earth Project just shared about how they built collaborative community relationships, I wouldn't be talking to you about a black box this morning. This information that I'm bringing to you in a very condensed, abbreviated form is from a very large systematic review. I don't know if some of you might be familiar with Cochrane collaborative systematic reviews that looked at 58 studies internationally. And it was a five-year project, and so in 20 minutes I can't reduce a 204-page report of 58 studies to something useful, but I can give you an introduction to some important concepts, and you can go and look at these studies. I do want to acknowledge the lead author, Laurie Anderson. I wish she were the person presenting today. As soon as this was published last spring, she and her husband went to join the Peace Corps, and they are in Swaziland. Joyce Buckner Brown, are you in the room? Stand up, please. I want to acknowledge a co-author, Joyce Buckner Brown, from the CDC. Thanks. And so here you have the Cochrane number and the PubMed number, should you want to look at these. So, multi-sector coalition model. Oh, we've got a slow delay here. Is a social initiative. It connects a community targeted for intervention with stakeholders who share a common interest in reducing health disparities by changing community-level structures, processes, and policies to promote the health and well-being of local residents. This is the theory of action that we were working with. You know, again, preaching to the choir, there's an intuitive appeal to the idea that working collaboratively with communities that we want to help is going to result in empowering the community, reducing barriers to access of services, and effective interventions. So in choosing studies, we cast our net widely. And, you know, there are lots of terms for coalitions, collaborations, alliances, partnerships. We, in the initial search, came up with over 25,000 possible. 25,000. It was pretty quickly taken down to under 500 that truly had coalitions, and then taken down again to under 300 that had rigorous methodological studies that were going to be useful. We looked only at community-level coalitions. We did not use statewide or national coalitions. Only studies of community coalitions with at least one racial or ethnic minority group representing the target population, and two community public or private organizations at least. So multi-sector collaborative efforts. We only looked at comparative studies. And, you know, part of my going through this bit about our methods is to increase the credibility of what our findings were. We looked at cluster random trials, randomized controlled trials, quasi-experimental designs, controlled before-after studies, interrupted time series, and prospective controlled cohort studies. And we looked only at studies that reported a health outcome, health status, or behavioral change, and describe other determinants of health. Again, our theory of action is looking at the sociocultural environment as an important determinant of people's health, their social context. So there are 58 studies, most of them from the United States, a couple from Canada, two from England, two from Australia, two from the Netherlands, and it covered a wide array of ethnic and racial minorities. I wanted you to see that specifically. African-American or African or Afro-Caribbean 30 studies, 18 of Latino and or Latina, 9 studies of Asian or Pacific Islanders, including Hawaiians, communities with large populations of Vietnamese, Samoans, Koreans, Six studies of Native Americans or indigenous populations, one study of population of Middle Eastern descent. So most studies targeted adults. Six looked at adolescents, five young children, four children and adolescent youth, two infants, and one with senior citizens. Most studies targeted individuals in urban settings. Nine studies targeted exclusively women. Nine studies targeted individuals by their medical history or health risks, such as breast cancer survivors. And 10 studies targeted residents of geographic areas defined as socioeconomically disadvantaged or ethnically diverse. These were the kinds of studies that took a really broad scale approach to trying to improve conditions in a community, such as violence, safety in neighborhoods, community cohesion. Okay, next. I think we're frozen. Sorry. One study targeted migrant workers at risk of pesticide exposure. Maybe this is working again. Okay. Three coalition types: grassroots, predominantly community-based organizations. There were only nine. Most of the others were either academic institution partnerships with communities, 34 of those, or public health agency partnerships with communities. Again, a very wide array of health topics were covered. Cancer screening behavior, breast, cervical, and colorectal. Changes in diet, physical activity, and other risk factors for cardiovascular disease and diabetes. Asthma in children. Alcohol, drug, or tobacco use. HIV risk behaviors. Immunization uptake in seniors and children. Breastfeeding behavior. Blood level leads in children. Exposure to pesticides. Depression, and that was in senior citizens. Quality of neighborhood community life. So, a coalition structure, remind everyone, it's a structure for engaging stakeholders and minority communities in collaborative decision making. So in our evaluation process, we were given our theory of action and that this is embedded in a social context. We were not looking at individual outcomes. We instead did our analysis by looking at four community intervention strategies. So these are strategies for engaging the community. One was broad-scale community system level change. So strategies aim to change sociocultural, such as public norms, regulatory processes, and physical environments, housing, green spaces, neighborhood safety. So these are typically longer duration than most specific program efforts. They average 50 months. An example, Wagner 2009 was a clustered randomized controlled trial. It targeted 80,953 urban Latino residents over 5 years to improve dietary intake for chronic disease prevention. And they did things like they increased grocery store options, community health screenings, nutrition classes, school-based nutrition education. Second category, broad health or social care system level change. So these are the systems. Targeting coordinated behavior of multiple staff within a health or social care system. So it might change policy, procedures, and technologies to improve care, increase an organizational delivery system capacity, alter standard operating procedures of interrelated agencies, change practice protocols. And an example is Wells. This was the single, very low risk of bias study of all the studies, looking at, it was a cluster randomized controlled trial looking at depression care for African Americans in a network of mental health and social care systems. And it was implemented over a 2-year period. The third engagement strategy was lay community outreach workers. So they reach minority community residents to facilitate access, to increase knowledge, and to promote behavior change in a culturally competent manner. Example, there were childhood asthma studies. These were for African American children. And they used lay community health workers to provide education, actual supplies for the homes, and support to reduce indoor asthma triggers. And the fourth engagement strategy, group-based health education and support, led either by trained peers or health professionals. Brown, 2013, was a randomized control trial that trained tribal leaders to offer after-school-based education to Native American youth at high risk of diabetes. Shorling, 1997, and Voorhees, 1996, were cohort studies that used peer educators in church-based settings to promote smoking cessation among African Americans. Now, we coded for, because the goal of our project was to ask, you know, two questions. Does a coalition-driven intervention make a difference? Does it have a beneficial effect? And secondly, if yes, how and why? Can we understand the mechanisms so that we can move further in our use of this strategy? So we looked at a list of variables of structure and process that come out of the literature and theory. Who's the coalition convener? What type of leadership? You know, is it a co-leadership? Is, you know, the university taking the lead? The number of organizational groups involved, the governance structure and staffing, what kind of mission statement, if there is one, bylaws, goals and objectives, funding, meeting frequency, duration of the coalition. Is this some group that's just come together or it's been in place for a long time, like the Greensboro group in Carrollton, North Carolina? Training for coalition members. You know, how do you achieve parity with the people from the community you bring on to help in the process? Was there a needs assessment process? And did they describe the problems that they encountered? So the academic and community partnerships were the most prevalent typology we found. Core group or shared leadership was the most common type. Again, this is in the studies that reported it, and not a lot of studies did. A coalition needs assessment process was reported in 26 studies, which is interesting. There were 58. Now, that doesn't mean that the balance didn't do it, but they didn't report it. Training of some kind provided to coalition members was reported in 13 studies. And the use of coalition work groups or subcommittees was reported in 27 studies. We had very different interventions, very different health topics, very different methodologies. There was no ability to do a pooled analysis. We looked at standardized mean difference effect size. No study, except the Wells, actually, that's not correct. Except the Wells study, none was considered to be at low risk of bias. Broad-scale community system level change led to little or no difference in measures of health behavior or health status. The broad health and social care system change strategies led to small beneficial changes in measures of health behavior or health status. Lay community outreach workers. Those interventions may lead to beneficial changes in health status measures across large samples of community residents, but the results were not consistent across studies. Group-based education led by professional staff, not peer, resulted in moderate improvement in measures of health behavior and health status. Adverse outcomes and unintended consequences were reported by few studies, but this is a very important issue. Power imbalance in decision making and control of funds, whether it's real or perceived, in some cases led to confusion and or conflict, alienation, and difficulty retaining commitment and engagement by community members. Unequal access to information among lay members versus scientific professionals and assumptions by community participants sometimes led to inhibition of adoption of evidence-based strategies and innovative change. Absence of sustainable funding for long-term efforts led to a sense of abandonment in the community. So I wanted to tell you some of the subgroup analysis we had hoped to do, but we couldn't do because of insufficient data reported. We're interested in looking at the influence of study design. Okay, so what kind of a study is going to be the most effective approach to take? research process. Which targeted health conditions seem most amenable to a coalition-driven process? We wanted to look at the difference between a single-setting scale versus multi-setting, multi-level. I mean, these big projects that try to change a lot of elements at multiple levels in the community. We wanted to compare the differences and couldn't. Coalition organizational structure, pretty important piece. Really, when we were doing the coding, I can't tell you how many zeros we had to put in for the important variables. We're stuck. Sorry, technical difficulty. Community, socioeconomic status, contextual factors we wanted to be able to consider, but insufficient information. Oh, okay. So, you know, the end of the story is that after this extensive process, looking at a lot of studies in a very rigorous manner, we can't at the end of the day say that a coalition-driven approach makes a difference for reducing health disparities, which doesn't mean, I mean, that supports a null hypothesis, but it doesn't mean it's not true. We just couldn't find it with what's reported. There's a long list of questions we have about what's still in that black box. Again, as if people reported the kinds of information we were hearing today, we might know more about what works and what doesn't. So this seems like a no-brainer, but one of the questions is, does a coalition-driven intervention add value to other strategies? Only one study looked at that, the Wells study on depression in African Americans. They didn't just compare their coalition-driven intervention with no intervention, they also compared it to that intervention without a coalition. Is one type of coalition structure more effective than others? How is coalition effectiveness impacted by the specific partners that are included? Who provides leadership? What's the role of professional staff, of volunteers, and of coalition members in assessment, planning, and implementation? What kind of training is useful? How does the duration and quality of a coalition's experience impact its effectiveness? You know, if it's a long-term coalition, there's sort of an institutionalization of trust that takes place that can increase efficiency. Is coalition-led intervention more likely to choose a community engagement strategy? Lastly, I would say, because we're focused very specifically on reducing disparities in minority populations, there's a huge body of literature we didn't look at. There are plenty of studies looking at coalition-led interventions to promote health that aren't targeting vulnerable populations. And so that is at least cataloged by our process. We did catalog that. And so that's a potential future resource to learn about just the issue of coalition-driven interventions, absent the factor of whether it's targeting minority populations. Thank you for your attention.